إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our seventh session, reading from منهج يومي لطالب العلم, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge, and advice by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, with a brief commentary from the Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Musin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhuhumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we look at the points that we want to cover tonight from this advice, we're going to go back and just review some of the points that we covered in last week's session from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 6. First question being, briefly discuss the third area outlined by the author, rahimahullah, as part of one's daily routine in life. The third area. Yani the first area was the minhaj, your minhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second area dealt with your minhaj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This question is about the third area. What is the third area outlined by the author as part of one's daily routine in life? Third area. Naam. Yusuf. Tayyib, your daily actions, acts of worship outside of the obligatory duties. Yani other than those things which are obligatory. Other than the things that Allah made obligatory upon us, what are the things that a Muslim should be engaged in terms of acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day? Question number 2. Outline the three acts of worship mentioned in the first advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine outside of one's obligatory duties. Yani, the daily routine outside of the obligatory duties contains several advices. 5. What is mentioned? Yani, three acts that are mentioned in the first advice. Now, first advice. Now, Sharif.
To stand up and pray. Dhikr and dua.
If a person wakes up in the night, that there are three things that, yani if a person gets up in the night to pray, or gets up in the night, even if they didn't get up to pray, then he said that they should engage in three matters. That is the dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, praising and glorifying Him, dua, supplicating to Allah, and reciting from the final ayats of Surah Ali Imran. In the final ayats of Surah Ali Imran. Question number 3. Memorize the first advice of the author, rahimahullah, under one's daily routine outside of the obligations. Anybody memorize this first advice? In Arabic or even in English? Naam, Talib. Idha kumta min al-layli? الذكر.
فاذكر الله تعالى.
وادع الله.
بما شئت. فإن دعاء في هذا هريء.
هذا الموطن. هذا الموطن. بالإجابة. يعني for indeed دعاء in this particular occasion is يعني expected to be responded to. نعم. وفر قول الله تعالى إن في خلق السماوات تختمها سورة آل عمران وهي عشر آيات وهي عشر آيات. يعني the شيخ Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said if a person wakes up in the night, they should remember, yani make dhikr, yani engage in dhikr of Allah the Most High, and they should supplicate to Him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with whatever they wish. For indeed, dua on this occasion is expected to be responded to, and they should recite from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, until the end of, yani the ayats of Surah Ali Imran, and there are 10 ayats. Question number 4. Mention a hadith concerning the sunnah of performing dhikr, istighfar and dua upon awakening during the night. Yani the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. Anyone know this hadith? Yani the meaning of the hadith. Naam. Meaning of the hadith. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what did he say? If a person wakes up during the night, then they should... Naam. They should say, we passed. Yani, they should say, yeah. That's in a different hadith, but in this narration of Ubadah, he said, if a person wakes up in the night, they should say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu al-mulk wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And then they should say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. And then they should say, Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And in some of the narrations, Al-Ali Al-Azim. And then, if there's somebody here from security, otherwise leave the door. Leave it. Naam. And he said, Naam, also he said what? Then a person should say, Allahumma kfirli, or Rabbi kfirli, or they should supplicate, and their supplication will be answered, and if they made wudu and performed salat, then their salat will be accepted. Anyway, this hadith is not in the book, and I actually neglected to send it to you. So inshallah, if you're in the mailing list, inshallah, you should have received it tonight. And inshallah, you can try to look at this hadith, very, very important matter. From the importance of it is that the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person then supplicated, their dua would be accepted, would be answered. And if a person performed wudu and prayed, then their prayer would be accepted. So this is very, very important hadith reported by Al-Bukhari from Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu. Question number 5, discuss the reason why the Prophet ﷺ disliked as-sahr, yani staying up in the night after performing the Isha Salat. Why did the Prophet... Naam, Thailand. Wallahi, my hearing is very bad. And there's a little bit of too much noise in here. Naam, try, if you can raise your voice just a little bit, just to help me, brother. I'm very sorry. Okay, because it causes harm to a person's daily routine. Naam. Okay, because it affects a person's yani regular activity in terms of their worship of Allah. It affects a person. If they stay up all night, then what's going to happen to the night prayer, not to mention the Fajr prayer? Naam. What else? He also mentioned another point that's very important related to this. He said this is... It affects the worship and it opposes the sunnah of Allah and the creation. Yani that He made night and day. Night for people to find rest in it. And day for people to seek the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is contrary yani to the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. Question number 6. Discuss what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah describes as as-sahr al-shar'i. As-sahr al-shar'i. Yani staying up, that's legislated. Naam. Naam, a person stays up in the night for doing some act of worship, whether it's dhikr or dua or qira'atul Qur'an or writing down knowledge or examining it, looking into it, studying it. This is the staying up that's legislated, that a person is engaged in worship. Question number 7, memorize the hadith of the nuzul, the descending of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the last third of the night. This is a hadith that's worthy of being memorized, and even for the people who find difficulty in memorizing. As far as the young people who don't find difficulty in memorizing, you should have already memorized it before we had this class. Naam, I know some of us are engaged in memorizing the Quran, and for sure that is any more important than memorizing anything else. But it doesn't mean that we can't memorize besides that anything else. Anybody know the hadith in English? Naam, Fadl Ahmed. Fadl. Try. Give it a shot. We'll help you, inshallah. Anybody who wants to help him, feel free to help your brother.
يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فِي طُولِ اللَّيْلِ مِنْ آخِرِ
كل ليلة
من آخر
ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى كل ليلة Somebody help us. نعم ينزل ربنا تبارك وتعالى إلى السماء الدنيا
حين يبقى
ثلث الليل الأخير. نعم يقول
من يسألني من يدعوني
who will يعني من يدعوني who will supplicate to me so that I will answer him who will ask me so that I will give him and who will seek forgiveness from me so that I will forgive him. This hadith has a lot of meanings that are very, very important. The obvious meaning of it is yani, of the utmost importance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us yani, to supplicate to Him, to ask for our needs and to seek His forgiveness. And therefore, yani, this is something that every Muslim should be concerned with, yani, to know, to understand, to recognize its importance and to act upon. And for that reason, yani, it is good if a person memorizes, so it's constantly on their mind, they're reviewing it and being reminded of it, and inshallah encouraged to act upon it. Discuss the tremendous encouragements mentioned in this hadith for getting up in the last third of the night. What are the encouragements in this hadith for getting up in the last third of the night? Sharif. That your supplication is answered. What else? Somebody else. Naam. Abdul Wali.
To make istighfar.
That a person asks Allah's forgiveness. Yani, this is an encouragement to get up in the night. Yani, which one of us are not in need of forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Naam. What else? Naam. Thailand.
Your name will be organized.
Okay, your day will be organized. Life will order. What the point is in the hadith itself. Yani, from the wording of the hadith, what are the things that are mentioned in the wording of the hadith? Naam. Fadl. Ask. Yani, people are always asking for something. So Allah is saying, ask me, and I will give it to you. Allahumma musta'an. Tayyib. Last question mentioned the two stories of men who spent the night at the home of Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and the unused water. What is the story? Naam, Zaki. Somebody spent the night in the home of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and he put some water there for the man before he retired. Okay, and then what happened? Imam Ahmad recognized that the water had not been used. He asked him why he didn't use the water. He was too shy to say anything. Yeah.
But he understood.
Okay, what did Imam Ahmad say to him? What did Imam Ahmad say to him? Now, Yusuf. He said, I didn't hear of a person who's from the Ahl Hadith. And he sahib hadithin. لا يقوم بالليل. That doesn't get up and stand in prayer in the night. But before that, he said what? Before he said that, he said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Yani, a person who's from the people of Hadith, he doesn't get up and pray in the night. We say a person from the people of Sunnah, the Ahl Sunnah, the people who say they follow the Sunnah. And this is the Sunnah of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A person from the people of Sunnah who doesn't get up in the night and pray. That's amazing. May Allah help us. Yani, let's ask Allah's help. Because this is something that shouldn't be taken lightly. And Imam Ahmad didn't say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And he just to be saying words. He was truly amazed, astonished. And we already, and he mentioned this last week. Okay, is that the last question? There was another story. The other story is basically the same, except that. Naam, Sheikh Ali. Except that the man made an excuse for himself. He said, I'm traveling. And Imam Ahmed said, Yani, even if you are traveling. Naam. Fayyib, tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with what we left off with. Last week, Yani, the third area of advice, that is the minhaj of the seeker of knowledge in reference to one's daily acts of worship that are other than the obligatory duties. And last week we covered the first two points, that is when a person gets up in the night, that they, Yani, mention Allah, praise Allah, and that they supplicate to Him, and that they recite the last ayahs of Surah Ali Imran. And the second point was that a person performs whatever Allah has decreed for them of the prayer in the last part of the night, ending their prayer with what? Ending the prayer with witr, with witr. So tonight, inshallah, we have the remaining three points, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The first of these final points, point number three, is related to a person, yani, being involved, engaged in the adhkar of the morning, adhkar as-sabah. And the next one is that a person performs salatul duha in the morning, after sunrise, up until, yani, dhuhr, or close to it. And the final one is, yani, the adhkar of al-masa, the evening adhkar. So these are three things that the author, rahimahullah, has mentioned should be from the regular, daily, ongoing, consistent acts of worship that a Muslim is engaged in, yani, a seeker of knowledge. And every Muslim is required to seek knowledge, right? It's obligatory. Talib al-ilm faridatun ala kulli Muslim. So that includes every Muslim. So point number three, we're reading in English from pages 36, from the top of page 36 to the top of page 38. And in Arabic, we're reading from page 43, page 43 up until 45. Bottom of page 45. Point number three, al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. This is under the title of Amaluka al-Yawmi ghayru al-Fara'id al-Mafruḍāt. Yani your actions, your daily actions, other than the things which Allah has made obligatory upon you. He says, point number three, حافظ على ما تيسر لك من أذكار الصباح كل مئة مرة لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. يعني حافظ على ما تيسر لك. Guard, protect, preserve, observe with care whatever is easy for you of the adhkar of the morning, the words of remembrance of the morning, whatever is easy for you. In the book, the famous book of supplication that most people are using these days, what is that book? Fortress of Muslim. The author mentions 23 or 24, I think, adhkar, under the adhkar of the morning and the evening. The Shaykh is, and that's not all of them, but those are some of the more well-known, important of the adhkar, the words of remembrance of morning and evening. The Shaykh, he says, حافظ على ما تيسر لك. Whatever is easy for you from them. If you didn't recite all of those 24, or even if you recited half of them, or whatever is easy for you, or more than those that are not mentioned in that book. But whatever is easy for you, you should not abandon this practice of the Prophet ﷺ of remembering Allah, praising and glorifying Allah in the morning. The Shaykh said, "Kul miyata marra." Say 100 times, "La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir." There's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and He has no partner. To Him belongs the kingdom, the sovereignty, and to Him belongs all praise, and He has power over everything, over all things. Here, I just want to read the text of the hadith that the Shaykh mentions in the footnote here, just for the full context of it. Yani, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said, observe carefully whatever is easy for you from the morning words of remembrance. And he mentions just one of them. One of them. That is saying, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The Shaykh in the footnote mentions this hadith, the hadith that this came from, or one of the narrations of the hadith that this came from, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Whoever says these words of praise, of glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declaring Allah to be alone, without any partner, and having the exclusive right of being worshipped. And whoever says these words, في يوم مئة مرة, in a day, 100 times. في يوم is an indication that a person can say it in parts, little by little, throughout the day. As long as they said it 100 times in that day, then they will get a reward. However, the scholars mention this under the Adhkar al-Sabah, because it's better that a person hasten to do good. And when you begin the day, start with it. Don't wait until Dhuhr time or Asr time or yani the end of the day. But rather, a person should hasten to doing good. And so the best thing to do is to say these words 100 times in the morning. Even though the hadith says, whoever says it, yani fi yawmin miyata marra, in a day 100 times. What is the reward, the benefits that are a result of a person observing this, these words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? كَانَتْ لَهُ عَدْلَ عَشْرِ رِقَابٍ. That person will have yani the reward equal to the like of freeing 10 slaves. 10 slaves. Person gets up in the morning, and in the time of the Adhkar al-Sabah, after the Fajr prayer, up until sunrise, says these words 100 times, they will have the reward of freeing 10 slaves. In some of the narrations concerning this statement of La ilaha illallah, it says that they will have the reward of freeing one slave. And if a person said this one time, and some other reward. And in some of the narrations it mentions other things, yani rewards different according to what a person says. Here he says, person would receive the reward of freeing 10 slaves. وَكُتِبَتْ لَهُ مِيَةِ حَسَنَةً مِيَةُ حَسَنَةٍ. And there will be recorded, written for him, 100 good deeds. Said this 100 times, he will get the reward of 100 good deeds. In some narrations said, if he said it 10 times, he will get the reward of 10 good deeds. وَمُحِيَتْ عَنْهُ مِيَةُ سَيِّئَةٍ. And they will be removed or erased from his record, 100 evil deeds. وَكَانَتْ لَهُ حِرْزًا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَوْمَهُ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يُمْسِيَ. And he will have a protection from shaitan for that day of his until he reaches the evening. And if a person says that in the morning, or at whatever time during the day, until they reach the evening, they will have protection from shaitan. What are the four rewards, benefits from this hadith? Without looking at the book, somebody, four of them. What are the four rewards? Naam. What is your name? Huh? Abdullah. How can I forget Abdullah? Reward of freeing 10 slaves. 100 good deeds recorded for him. 100 evil deeds removed from his record. And protection from shaitan until he reaches the evening. And who can do without this? Wallahi, no one of us can do without this. Naam. I don't know what's happening. They want to ask a question? Okay. I'll look over there next time, inshallah. I'll try to remember. The point is that the reward that is mentioned here by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this tremendous hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, there's nothing more authentic than that. How can a person pass this up? How many days have passed us by and we left this reward? We didn't get it. How many weeks, months, years? Some of us, we didn't know it. And some of us, we knew it. And some of us used to do it and we forgot it. Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq to recite these words every day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, وَلَمْ يَأْتِي أَحَدٌ بِأَفْضَلَ مِمَّا جَعَ بِهِ إِلَّا أَحَدٌ عَمَلَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And nobody will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with anything better than what? Yani, the one who says this has come with, what he has come with, except a person who does more than that. And this may be reflected if you read some of the narrations in the Fortress of the Muslim or in some of the books of hadith. You will see that sometimes it's mentioned to say this one time, and in some narrations 10 times, and in this narration 100 times. And the rewards, yani, will be increased. Yani, accept the person who brings more than that. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh, he says, okay, I'm going to actually just detour a little bit. I just want to mention this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In the narration of Al-Imam Muslim, it has the exact same wording, and the hadith, yani, in the narration of Imam Muslim, instead of from Abdullah ibn Yusuf, from Malik, is from Yahya ibn Yahya, from Malik. And the rest of the chain, the isnad is the same. In the narration of Imam Muslim, it has the exact same wording from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that whoever says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk, lahul hamdu huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, 100 times in a day, he will have the reward of freeing 10 slaves, 100 good deeds written for him, 100 evil deeds removed from him, and protection from shaitan until he reached the evening, and nobody will come with anything better than so yawmul qiyamah, except a person who does more than that. The narration of Imam Muslim has Abu Hurairah saying, wa man qala subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And whoever said, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, fi yawmin miyata marra, in a day, 100 times. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Huttat khatayahu walau kanat mithla zabad al-bahr. That person will have removed from him his sins, even if they were equal to the foam of the sea. Whoever said what? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. You need to declare that Allah is free from any imperfections. Allah is perfect. And He is the one who is worthy of all praise. And the point here is that these words of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are important, and they are valuable, and they are so beneficial. But in order to get the full benefit of them, we need to understand their meanings. And we need to believe them in our heart and recite them with sincerity. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says concerning this point, yani the guarding or the observance of the adhkar of the morning, and particularly in general, but particularly this statement of tawheed of La ilaha illallah, he says, was Shaykh. He means the Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah nassa ala hadhihi al-mi'a ma anna al-adhkar al-warida kathira, that the author al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has mentioned explicitly this saying of these words 100 times, even though the adhkar of the morning are many. And those that the things that have been mentioned for saying in the morning adhkar al-sabah are many, but he mentioned this particular one, لِعِظَمْ شَعْنِ التَّهْلِيلِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِيَةَ مَرَّةٍ, because of the greatness, the magnificence, the importance of the saying of La ilaha illallah 100 times in a day. Because of the importance of that, over everything else that could have been mentioned here, that are recorded authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Imam, the great scholar of Islam, he picked to say this particular one, which shows that its superiority over other sayings. He said it shows the greatness or the importance of saying La ilaha illallah 100 times in a day. How important it is that we do so. وَعِذَمْ مَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنْ آثَارٍ عَظِيمَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ فِي حَيَاةِ الْمُسْلِمِ وَفِي أُخْرَاهُ. And also because of what will be the result of that, of saying this La ilaha illallah 100 times, the result that, yani, it will lead to, yani, the effect, the athar azima mubaraka, the blessed, magnificent effects that it will have on the life of the Muslim, meaning in this world. Wafi ukhrahu, and also the effect that it will have and the blessing that it will bring to him in the next life. Here, also in the footnote, there's the mention of another statement of Shaykh Abdul Razak concerning this particular matter. In another place in his book, Fiqh al-Adiyya wal-Adhkar, it is mentioned that he said, وَفِي هَذَا دَلَالَةٌ عَلَىٰ عِظَمْ شَأْنِ كَلِمَةِ التَّوْهِيدِ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Yani in this hadith and its benefits and blessings and rewards is an indication of the greatness and the importance of the affair of the statement of Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, which yani is ajallu al-kalimat ala al-itlaq. It is the most yani important, the most noble of words, yani without exception. Wa afdalu ma qalahu an-nabiyyun, and it is the best of what the prophets have said, of the prophets overall. Yani they haven't said anything better than this. Wa li ajliha qamat al-ard wa as-samawat, and for this word, la ilaha illallah, the earth and the heavens were established. Wa khuliqat al-khalaiq wal-bariyat, yani that the creation and the all of the creatures were created, yani for this, yani for the establishment of la ilaha illallah. And he said, its people, the people of Tawheed, of la ilaha illallah, they are ahlu as-sa'ad wal-falah wal-fawz fi dunya wal-akhirah. They are the people of good fortune, the people of salvation, and the people of success in this world and in the next life. And then he closed by saying, وَكَلِمَةٌ هَذَا شَأْنُهَا حَرِيٌ بِالْمُسْلِمْ أَنْ تَعْظُمَ إِنَايَتُهُ بِهَا. He said, a word that has this significance and importance, as mentioned here, it is incumbent, befitting of the Muslim, to magnify one's care and concern, attention to this word. Wallahu wahdahu biyadihi at-tawfiq was-sadad, and Allah alone in His hand is success and yani correctness. Whoever knows the importance of this word, and the Shaykh has mentioned here some things that if we go back and look at them, yani will help us to understand how great and how important this word is, then it is incumbent upon us to take it serious and to yani give it our attention and our care. Before we move, even though the time is brief, I want to quickly mention some narrations from the authentic books of Bukhari and Muslim. In the narration of Sahih Bukhari, whoever can go back to it, I would suggest you go back to it. Hadith number 5401. Some people were gathered with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a man's house, and someone asked about one of the people who wasn't present, and a man said from amongst the companions of the Prophet, he's a munafiq. He doesn't love Allah and His Messenger. The Prophet said, don't say that. Don't you see that he has said La ilaha illallah? Don't you see that he has said La ilaha illallah yuridu bithalika wajhallah? He said La ilaha illallah desiring, intending by it the face of Allah. This means that the saying of La ilaha illallah has to be sincerely for the sake of Allah. It's not just saying words, pronouncing the words, that's easy for anybody to do. But he said, don't you see that he has said La ilaha illallah desiring, intending by it the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he went on to say, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْحَ اللَّهِ. Allah has made haram. And He has made haram the fire. He has made it haram for the person who says La ilaha illallah, intending, desiring by it the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration, in Bukhari, another hadith, 6570, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, who will be the most fortunate of the people who will earn your intercession on the day of standing? He said, لَقَدْ ذَنَنْتُ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَ أَنَّ لَا يَسْأَلُنِي أَنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَحَدٌ أَوْلُ مِنْكَ. He said, I thought, O Abu Hurairah, that nobody would have asked me about this hadith before you. Nobody would have asked me about this hadith before you. لِمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ حِرْصِكَ عَلَى الْحَدِيثِ. Due to what I see from your eagerness and your diligence in seeking the hadith, he said, the most fortunate of the people who will earn my shafa on Yawm al-Qiyamah is the person who says, La ilaha illallah, khalisan min qibli nafsihi. And he will be the person who says, La ilaha illallah, sincerely from himself, from his soul. And there are lots of other narrations like this. I only wanted to mention that because I want us to be reminded of the importance of the saying of La ilaha illallah. Can't be just words on our tongue. Person has to understand what it means, its significance, and what it requires of us, so that when a person says it, they act upon it. And in this case, it will be of tremendous benefit. The fourth point of the five advices that the Shaykh has given concerning our daily activities outside of the obligatory duties. Well, almost done. He says, number four, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, he said, Salli raka'atay ad-duha. And he performed the prayer of two raka'ah of the duha prayer, yani in the morning, after sunrise. Yani its time is a little after sunrise up until a little before dhuhr. The Shaykh, he says concerning this matter, Shaykh Abdul Razak, هذه وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي هريرة. هذه وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. قال يعني أبو هريرة said أوصاني خليلي بثلاث وذكر منها ركعتي الدحى. This hadith, the full hadith that this is referring to is in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Shaykh, he said this is the wasiyah, the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Hurairah. Not just to Abu Hurairah, but in this hadith is recorded that he said this to Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah said, "Awsani khalili," yani my best, closest, dearest friend has advised me with three things, and from amongst those three things he mentioned the two rak'ah of salatul duha. This is the fourth matter that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has advised us with, that a person, this has to be part of your daily routine, that a person performs salatul duha. Whether it is as two rak'ah, as mentioned here, or four rak'ah, or six rak'ah, or eight rak'ah, as narrated, all of that in authentic narrations. Here, I want to just mention that this hadith, it came in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith number 1178, from Abu Hurairah. He said, my dear friend, my khalili, he has advised me with three things. لا عدع حنة حتى أموت. Three things that I will never leave until I die. Yani it's something that a person not does, yani as a fashion that you into for a while. It's something he said, I will never leave until I die. Sawmi thalathi ayyam, that I fast thalathati ayyam min kulli shah, that I fast for 3 days from every month. Wa salatu duha, and the prayer of duha. Wa nawmin ala witrin, and that I sleep, yani after performing the witr prayer. And this was because, as some of the scholars mentioned, that there were people like Abu Hurairah who didn't get up in the night. And therefore, the Prophet ﷺ advised the person who doesn't expect to get up in the night due to tiredness or other than that, that they should pray the Salatul Witr before they sleep. That's how important is the Salatul Witr. In another hadith that is reported in the Sunan of Nasa'i, it is similarly reported from Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu. He said, "Awsani habibi," that my beloved, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has advised me with three things. La adau hunna, insha'Allah ta'ala, abadan. These three things, I will never leave them, insha'Allah, ever. I will never leave them. And these people are our examples, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they were given these advices, they acted upon them and they said, I will never leave them. I will never leave them. He said, he advised me with Salatul Duha and with Witr before sleeping, before I go to sleep. Abu Dha also, he told him that. And fasting 3 days from every month. I know the time is short. May Allah help us. But I do want to mention two other hadith, at least briefly, concerning the importance of the two rak'ah in the morning after Fajr. It's narrated in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and the hadith is sahih, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us, yani to pray the Fajr prayer in jama'ah, and to sit in the dhikr of Allah in the morning until sunrise, and to pray two rak'ah of salatul duha. Man salla al ghadat fi jama'atin. A person who prays the ghadat, yani the fajr prayer, in congregation. Thumma qa'ada yadhkuru Allah. Then he sits, remembering Allah. Hatta tatla'u'a ash-shams. Until the sun rises. Thumma salla raka'ataini. And then he prays two raka'ah. He performed the fajr prayer in congregation. He sat remembering Allah. And this is important because some people sit in the masjid after fajr and hold social conversations. This is a time of worship. This is not a time for socializing. And you shouldn't disturb a person who's trying to worship in that time. You shouldn't disturb a person. Unless you have something critically important to ask them and get on about your business. Because this is a time when a person doesn't want to be disturbed if they are engaged in the worship of Allah. Whoever prays the Fajr prayer in congregation and then sits remembering Allah until the sun rises, then prays two rak'ah, كَانَتْ لَهُ كَأَجْرِ حَجَّةٍ وَعُمْرَةٍ. They will have the reward a reward like the reward of Hajj and Umrah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Tama, Tama, Tama. Yani complete reward of Hajj and Umrah. And the last hadith that I want to mention concerning this shows us the importance of these two rak'ah and also how, yani this is a way that a person can give sadaqah. It's narrated from Abu Dharr. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Hadith number 720 from Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu that the Prophet ﷺ said, يُصْبِحُ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلَامَ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةٌ. Yani, every person reaches the morning having an obligation for every bone in their body to give a sadaqah. That's a lot of sadaqah. And if a person is rich, no problem. Every tasbihah, every time you said subhanallah is a sadaqah. And every tahmida, every time you said alhamdulillah is a sadaqah. And every tahleela, every time you said la ilaha illallah is a sadaqah. Wa kullu takbira, every time you said Allahu Akbar is a sadaqah. Wa amru ma'roof is sadaqah. And enjoining the good is sadaqah. And forbidding the wrong is sadaqah. Wa yujzi'u min thalika raka'atani yarqa'uhuma min al-duha. And all of that sadaqah that a person gives to fulfill the obligation of sadaqah every single day. I don't know if you've been fulfilling that obligation of sadaqah or not. But it's an obligation upon us. And we're accountable for it. So a person says, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Enjoy the good, forbid the wrong. Why? In order to fulfill the obligation of sadaqah, the Prophet ﷺ said, what will suffice from all of that is that a person perform two rak'ah of salatul duha. There are a few other hadith, but the time is really upon us. Allahu musta'an. Last week I didn't pay attention to the time. I was looking at the time for the Iqamah. This week I'm trying to look at the time for the Adhan, which is right now. So let's finish what remains with a little bit of what is I can offer in the few minutes. I mean, we won't take the whole time until the time of the Iqamah. The fifth point. Fifth point, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen says, Hafiz ala adhkar al-masah ma tayassara laka minha. Yani guard, protect and preserve, observe carefully the words of remembrance of the evening, whatever of it is easy for you. Look at this advice. The Shaykh is saying whatever is easy for you. And you do whatever you can do. Person can't do all of them, then do some of them. But don't abandon it. Guard this, protect it, preserve it. Don't let it get away every morning, every evening. He said, فَتَبْدَأُ صَبَاحَكَ بِالذِّكْرَ وَأَيْضًا مَسَاءَكَ تَخْتِمُهُ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَتَكُونُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الذِّكْرَ فِي الْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. And he begin your morning with the remembrance of Allah. And also your evening end it with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that you will become from amongst the people of dhikra in the morning and in the evening. Then the Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ الْأَذْكَارِ يَنِي أَذْكَارُ الصَّبَاحُ وَالْمَسَاءِ. These words of remembrance, the words of remembrance of morning and evening. And they are adhkar for different occasions, at different times, in different situations and circumstances. Shaykh is talking about these, adhkar, morning and evening, specifically. مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْأَذْكَارَ الَّتِي يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعَنِيَ بِهَا الْمُسْلِمِ. These are from the greatest and the most important of words of remembrance which a Muslim is expected, is befitting of a Muslim to give care to. This is from the most important of them. When you wadiba alayha, and that a person be consistent, regular in performing them. Muwadabatan yawmiyatan mustamirratan. That a person is consistent in doing it every single day, continuously, uninterruptedly. You don't take a day off. Not Saturday or Sunday or any other day. All the time. A person is, yani it is expected, it is incumbent upon a Muslim to give care to this. Why? لِأَنَّهَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا آثَارًا مُبَارَكَةً فِي يَوْمِ الْمَرْءِ وَفِي لَيْلَتِهِ كَمَا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَحْرِسَ عَلَى تَعَلُّمِ الْفَوَائِدِ الْمُتَرَتِّبَةِ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأَذْكَارِ بِمَا ذَكَرَهُ النَّبِي صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَالسَّلَامُهُ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, so the reason why a person has to give care to these adhkar, especially the adhkar of morning and evening, is because of what it results in. Yani the athar mubarakah, the blessed effects that it has in the day of the person and in their night. How it will affect their day and how it will affect their night. From amongst the effects that it has on a person's day and night is that a person will be protected from shaitan for the whole day until nighttime comes. And if a person says this in the evening, they will be protected from shaitan. And they will be given so many benefits and so many blessings. The Shaykh says, similarly or equally, also it is incumbent upon the Muslim to be diligent and eager in seeking to learn the benefits that result from these adhkar. To learn the benefits. What are the benefits? I don't know, I meant to bring this book, but I might have forgotten. Allahu musta'an. Naam. Yeah, this book. This book is taken from the Shaykh's book of adhkar. And it is one of the chapters, the chapter where he deals with the morning and evening adhkar, where he actually explains, in brief, each one of the morning and evening adhkar that he mentions in the book. He doesn't mention all of them, but he explains each one of them with a beautiful explanation that if a person reads this, one person said to me that it changed their life. And a person read this and they began to implement it. And they began to understand the meaning of these words. And apparently, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and they recited them sincerely and it changed their life. Changed their life. So this is in reality something that's life-changing. That a person learns these things that we should be saying in the morning and the evening. That they understand their meanings. That's really important because sometimes we're reading the words without their meanings. Even in Arabic. Especially if we're reading the translation in English. Without knowing their meanings. And it doesn't have the same effect. As the Shaykh himself, Shaykh Abdul Razak said in another place, that understanding the meaning of these words, of these supplications and these adhkar, is critical for a person to get the full benefit of it. He said a person should be diligent in learning the benefits that result from these adhkar, according to what has been mentioned by the Prophet, salawatullah wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. The last hadith that I want to mention is a hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hassan. Very beautiful hadith that's related to this topic. The topic of the adhkar of morning and evening. And it is a hadith that should be known to all of us. And nobody shouldn't have already known this. But this is just a reminder. It's narrated from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. He said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَأَنْ عَقْعُدَ مَعَ قَوْمٍ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْغَدَاتِ حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسِ. That I sit, indeed, by Allah, that I sit with the people, remembering Allah the Most High. And he doesn't mean like the group of people, reciting together in congregation. But he means sitting in the masjid after performing the congregational prayer. The people who remain in the masjid, who don't get up and run. I don't know where we're running to. And this is the best place that you could be, in the masjid. Well, why are we in a hurry to leave? A person sits after the congregational prayer and engages in dhikr. That's another dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's critical for a Muslim, after the congregational prayer. And the rewards for it are tremendous as well. He said that indeed by Allah, my sitting with the people, remembering Allah, after the morning prayer, until the sun rises, after the Fajr prayer, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتِكَ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْ وَلَدِ إِسْمَعِيلٍ. To sit in the masjid with the people who remain, remembering Allah after the Fajr prayer until sunrise, is more beloved to me than freeing 10 slaves or 4 slaves from the children of Ismail. Is more beloved to me than freeing 4 slaves from the children of Ismail. وَأَنَا أَقْعُدَ مَا قَوْمٍ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَغْرُبَ الشَّمْسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتِكَ أَرْبَعَةً. And by Allah, that I sit with the people remembering Allah from after the Salat al-Asr until the sun sets is more beloved to me than freeing 4, meaning 4 slaves from the children of Ismail. This hadith shows us the importance of the adhkar of morning and evening. Yani to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it would be more beloved to him than to sit engaged in this dhikr in the morning and in the evening than freeing four slaves from the children of Ismail. That's how important it is. And if we don't know how important it is, we need to reflect on this hadith. Because yani we can't do without it. Yani how do you don't need this? How is it that you don't need this? And this hadith also has another indication besides the importance of the morning and evening adhkar. It also clearly indicates the time of the morning and evening adhkar. The time of the morning adhkar is from Fajr until sunrise. And the time of the evening adhkar is from Asr until Maghrib. Even if a person was engaged with something that whatever they were engaged with, then even a person can recite it after Maghrib or after Isha. Sheikh Abdul Razak said, don't abandon it, even if you couldn't say it in its time. But the time that's legislated is after Asr. After Asr. And most people have finished work after Asr anyway. So where are we running to? Allahu musta'an. Okay, I know the time is up and I am going to stop right here. With a few minutes remaining, I'm just going to refer to some other adhkar that are really of great importance. One of them is the well-known any hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, and it's sahih. It's in the Fortress of the Muslim, hadith number 86 in the Fortress of the Muslim. Yani Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and others reported from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no servant of Allah who says every day in the morning and the evening, Bismillah الذي لا يضر ما اسمه شيء في الارض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. In the name of Allah, with whose name nothing is harmed on earth or in the heavens. And if there's nothing that can harm you on earth or in the heavens, if you are yani entering into the affair with the name of Allah, yani if you are mentioning the name of Allah, Bismillah, the one who لا يضر ما اسمه, no, nothing, شيء, nothing in the heavens and earth can harm with his name. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. He said, whoever says this, repeating it three times, then nothing will harm him. Yani of note is two equations. I'm going to stop with this. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah said, concerning this hadith, this is an authentic report and a truthful statement, whose proof we came to know by way of both dalil, yani the evidence of the hadith itself, as well as by tajriba, from actual experience. This is what it says in the hadith, and we experienced it. Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, said, this is what we know from the dalil of the hadith and from the evidence. Since I first heard this hadith, I acted upon it. I acted upon it, and nothing harmed me until one day I did not recite it. As a result, I was stung by a scorpion during the night in Medina. When I thought over it, I realized that I had forgotten to seek refuge in Allah through these words. It's also mentioned in the Yani Sunan of At-Tirmidhi concerning this, that Aban ibn Uthman rahimahullah, the narrator of this hadith from Uthman radiallahu anhu, Aban was afflicted with a semi-paralysis which affects one side of the body. A man from amongst the people stared at him, yani at his condition, that he was partially paralyzed while he's narrating this hadith. So Aban said to the man, what are you looking at? Yani why are you staring at me like that? Indeed, the hadith is the truth, just as I narrated to you. Yani the person who recites this, nothing in the heavens and earth can harm you. It is the truth, just as I narrated to you. However, I failed to recite it that day. And in this way, Allah caused what He had decreed for me to occur. We're going to stop with this and just like say that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in taking this matter seriously, taking these things that the Imam has given us as advice in our daily life, that we take these things seriously and we implement them into our lives. If we are already doing them, let's be more consistent in them. And if we are already consistent in them, then let's do them in a better fashion. In a better fashion. Allah deserves more than that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that we do it according to the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recognize, record and reward our good deeds and to pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat ala siratul mustaqeem. until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant good health, or to recover, to return the health of those who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light and make them spacious. And we ask Allah finally that He grant relief, and that He grant His health, His protection to the Muslims, men, women and children who are being slaughtered and murdered and persecuted in Palestine and other places in the earth, whether in the Muslim lands or in the Kafir lands. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them relief and to compensate them for that which they are going through. Indeed, Allah is the one who does whatever He wills. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen.